So it's Luke 10, verses 1 to 12. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
Before I start, I just want to pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that it leads and guides us. And we pray this morning that your Holy Spirit will speak to us, both as a church and as individuals. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I start, can I just say thank you? I received a number of emails and text messages this week as I headed towards Friday and Owen's funeral. It was such an encouragement, and can I say thank you, because to speak into that kind of situation where a lad of 15, a life cut short, was immensely difficult. But I was struck, and so struck, by the number of year 11 pupils who were there and their immense deep respect. Standing by the graveside, I stood there for about an hour and a half after the service as wave after wave of students came down to Owen's grave, and I was just so struck by the silence of respect and the silence of love that was shown towards Owen, because he had loved others. So a huge thank you for your prayers. Do please continue to pray for Rachel and John. Rachel and her mum Judy were in church this morning. Please continue to pray for them as they struggle to come to terms with their traumatic loss. As Nathan said, we're starting a new series. And the series between now and Christmas is about how do we love our neighbours in the 21st century. And I watched that video earlier on this week and was just so struck by the fact that so many of those things were just small things. They really weren't earth-shaking, shattering things, but they all added up to sharing love with one another. How many of you can pick up the first slide up, please, Tina? Thank you. Oh, it's not Tina, it's Anna. It's transmogrified. Thank you, Anna. I don't know how many of you remember that film, Mission Impossible. I was so tempted to put the music on, and I thought, no, I won't try and get too technical. You remember the film that starts off with that music, and it said, "This is your mission. If you choose to take it on, this tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds. Do you remember the one? By the looks of your faces, you do remember. I used to think to myself, why is it they always manage to do it? This ridiculously Mission Impossible. usually jumping through flames and walking through walls and everything else, virtually being killed in the process, but they always managed the mission impossible. It seems like we have a mission impossible. How do we share Christ's love? How do we share the gospel message with our community? And I was at Great Chart this morning, and I was challenging them with exactly the same message. The first people have moved into Chilmington. Gone are the days where a house used to have to dry out for 6 months. Remember those dates? You know, no one could move in, let it dry out. Well, nowadays it seems to me, let it dry out for 6 seconds and you're there and you're in. So Chilmington, they have started to move in. And it's our challenge. That is going to be a town larger than Tenterden, right on our doorsteps. So I ask the question, are we brave or arrogant to think as an individual we can make a difference in our community? Or are we just foolhardy in thinking that we can do anything to make a difference? I emailed this last couple of weeks. I was speaking to the sixth formers at John Wallace Academy about stewardship and charity and how we can make a difference. And afterwards, a number of the students came up and said, you've really challenged us. How can we make a difference in our community? So I told them about one or two things, and I said, I will email you. I was people watching this week. I wasn't arrested for loitering, but I was people watching. And I was people watching in Tesco's. I know, how sad am I? But I stood watching the food box, the food bank box near the entrance. And it was like watching the parable of the Good Samaritan. Some people just walked straight past. They knew it was there and they just turned their heads and walked straight past. Others went up and had a good look in to see what was inside. Oh, that's interesting. And then walked on. And then there was the third group who went up and purposefully went in the direction of the food bank box, and they put something in. And I said to the students, you can do this too. How much does a kilogram of pasta cost? Well, you can tell they don't shop very often. I think the answers ranged from 5p to £5. You can make a difference because from the 1st of October, Tesco's are supporting Make Lunch in their blue coin. You know the blue things you get given and you think, what am I going to do with this? Well, please will you stand in front of the right box. It's labelled TLG, Transforming Lives for Good. Then it says, Make Lunch. John and I were in Tesco's yesterday. And encouraged by somebody else, not me, a large handful of blue buttons were picked up and placed in the box. We can make a difference simply by encouraging Tesco's. I haven't realised what a difference it makes. If you are in that kind of scheme, the charity or organisation that gets the most across the area gets something in the region of £50,000. Now, for Make Lunch nationally, what a difference that could make. Even if you come third, you still get £10,000. So you might think, you know, it's a drop in the ocean. Please drop your blue coins in the ocean because it will make a difference. And it goes on till Christmas time. And I have to tell you, at Park Farm, Make Lunch at the moment is in the lead. But we just need to make sure that we get that out there. Can we make a difference? Well, I'm asking that question. If we are serious about our faith in Jesus Christ, if we seriously have a relationship with Jesus, then it should make a difference to the way we live our lives. Does it? Jesus wants a relationship with us. And he loves us. And it should change the way that we live our lives. I'm just going back to that confession, which absolutely struck me this morning about our need to be more caring, more loving, not to be bored with each other, and all of those kind of things. But if we go into the book of James, James says faith without works is dead. It's no good coming to church every Sunday morning and it ends there. I mean, it's great, and we come to worship God, but actually it's the outworkings of our faith on a day-to-day basis. What do we do to make a difference in our world? It's the mission that we've been set. And fortunately, it's not a mission impossible, because we have the Holy Spirit to guide and help us. Thank you, Annette. We can go on to the next one. Brill. So, going back to that reading we had, Jesus sends out to the 72. And it's thought, and you go back to Genesis, that actually there were 72 nations. So, in other words, we go on to Matthew, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations. All nations starts in Singleton. All nations starts in Chilmington. All nations continues globally, where we are encouraged to support organisations around the world. Talk to Anna about Mission Aviation Fellowship, where they go out across all nations, taking the love of Christ. And they might feel it's like a drop in the ocean. However, getting a look there. However, if you don't start with a drop in the ocean doesn't exist. And I've been profoundly struck by this. If we don't start to do just something, then nothing happens. I was really encouraged this week because we met with all those who help with Make Lunch. And this summer, we did 60% more meals in the summer holidays than we did last year. You could look a little bit enthusiastic. 60% more meals. Now, nationally, with Make Lunch, it has gone up. But we buck the trend. In this area, Make Lunch just said, we cannot believe that that's your... Have you got your data right? Yeah, we have got our data right. This is God at work in our community. And it might feel like a drop in the ocean cooking some meals and handing out meals. But you know what? I've gone into all the schools and I'm due into Beaver Green this coming Thursday. And I've worn my tie-dye shirt. And as I've gone in, the children have all said, Make Lunch, Make Lunch. You wore that at Make Lunch. I said, yes, I did. We can make a difference if we believe we can make a difference. So, Jesus sends us out. But he also says in the prayer, in the Lord's Prayer that we prayed, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do we take that prayer seriously? Your will be done in our community as it is in heaven. That's an absolute blast of a prayer if we believe it. It is the most amazing. Your will, God, your will for Chilmington, your will for Singleton, your will for Stanhope. That's what we're called to pray. Thank you, Anna. Love your neighbour. Now, it's attributed to St. Francis. Yes, I like this. I never met St. Francis. It's attributed to him, so whether he said it or not, we don't know, but it's attributed to him. Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. I love that. We're not called... Have you ever seen those folks who stand on the streets and do what I call the Bible-bashing bit? It's their call, it's not my call. I couldn't do that. Preach the gospel and use words when you've got to. It's how we live our lives. Or do we choose to walk by on the other side? I love that video. You know, you've got odd things like somebody sweeping up leaves in their front garden and they look at the person next door and realise they can't cope, and so they go and support and help. It's little acts of kindness which begin to mount up. When a community begins to take its responsibility and love our neighbours as ourselves. The disciples probably thought that it was a mission impossible when Christ said to them, share the gospel across all the nations. Well, how on earth were they going to do that? But they started, and they went on amazing journeys because they trusted in God. It's about living as citizens of heaven, guided by the Holy Spirit. Now, I've been struck by the Holy Spirit this week, as one is most weeks. But I was looking at the preparing the sermon for Great Chart, and several days later, I finally got round, to my shame, to reading the special prayer, which is for this morning, the Collect. And I'm going to read it because I thought, oh Lord, you're in this. This is you. This is of you. We beseech you mercifully to hear our prayers for those who call upon you, that, and grant that we may perceive and know what things we ought to do, and also may they have the grace and power to faithfully fulfill them. What is it you're calling us to do? And faithfully, may we have the power to do those things here in our community. But why else did Jesus call in twos? We're called primarily to be peace bringers. Well, in this world that we live at the moment, boy, that's a challenge. I'm standing with Rachel, Owen's mum, this morning in church. And her comment to me was, what I can't cope with is I may never know how Owen died. I may never know, and she probably won't. But God has been at work, because after I left the graveside and filled in all the gubbins and stuff that you have to fill in books, service was 11:30. I think I finally was leaving the church at about 3:00 on Friday. And just as I was leaving, a lady came in to sign the condolence book. And I'd been sitting there praying, God, how do I make a difference? I just don't know in this situation. How do I make a difference? And in walks this lady to sign the condolence book, and I said to her, thank you for coming back in, because the book's open until Monday. Thank you for coming back in. And she said, I was the police officer who found Owen that night, and I needed to come back into church. She was at the funeral. And she said to me, I don't know how you do the job you do. And I said to her, I don't know how you do the job you do. But without you on the streets doing the job that you do, and the care and the love. And she sat and poured out her heart for about 3/4 of an hour. She said, I can't tell you what she said, because that wouldn't be fair or right. But there is God at work, and me thinking, what can I do? So when we pray these prayers, God says, here I am. Just do what I'm putting in front of you. It's not rocket science. I will put these people in your way. If you just pray, will you please work here on earth, your will on earth? But why in pairs? Well, you know, for protection, it's not always wise to go out in this world on your own. Much better to go in pairs. And also, I don't know whether you're like me, but we easily get discouraged. And so with other people alongside us, we are encouraged to work and to do things. And I think what we've noticed with Winter Night Shelter and with Make Lunch and with Ignite, the team is getting so encouraged because they feel that they are actually making a difference. And also, it stops us thinking we can go it alone. We're called to be the body of Christ. That means to be the body working together. Anna, thank you. And so we look at that point where Jesus says, the harvest is ripe. Now, at the moment, I am living 2/3 of my time, I'm nearly there, 2/3 of my time surrounded by farms, and it's been amazing to see the harvest this year. It's been a really bumper harvest. But I was talking to the farmer, and she was saying, because she's a she, and they have 2,000 acres that they farm, and she said, you know, there's a very small window when it's right to harvest, and if you leave it too long, then the harvest rots. And Christ is saying, we're saying, the harvest is ripe, but the labourers are few. The harvest is ripe. And it is now. You know, now is our moment to be out, getting out into Chilmington. Now is our moment to be working across Stanhope. Now is our moment to be in Singleton. Christ is saying to us, you are here for such a time as this. And it's important that we hear that call. But we're also asked to pray for other labourers, because we are few. And Christ says, you know, pray for other labourers. And I want to challenge us about how good we are with prayer. Thank you, Anna. Can we go on to the next slide? If we go it alone, we get discouraged and we only scratch the surface. And my lovely old tractor there, it gets overheated. We get exhausted if we try and do things on our own and in our own strength. So Jesus tells us to pray for more labourers, but how good are we at prayer? I just want to share with you a story. I don't know whether you've read the book. If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat by John Ortberg. I do recommend it. By the looks of the nods, one or two of you have read it. Well, can I just give you a little bit of a window into the book with Bob's story about prayer? Bob came in excited about the statement in the Bible where it says, "Ask in my name and you shall receive it." Is that really true? Bob demanded. Doug explained, well, it's not a blank check. You have to take it into context of the teaching of the whole of Scripture on prayer. But yes, it is really true. Jesus really does answer prayer. Great, says Bob. Then I've got to start praying for something. I think I'm going to pray for Africa. That's a bit of a broad target, said Douglas. Why don't you narrow it down to one country? Okay, I'll pray for Kenya. Do you know anything about Kenya? No. Have you ever been to Kenya? No. Bob just wanted to pray for Kenya. So Douglas made a rather unusual arrangement, and I don't suggest we do this, folks, okay? He said, if you pray for Kenya for 6 months and something extraordinary starts to happen, I will give you £500. If you stop praying and nothing remarkable happens, then you can give me £500. So Bob started to pray every day. And to start with, nothing remarkable happened. Know that story? You start praying, nothing happens. And you think, God, are you listening? Are you in bed, asleep? Or are my prayers hitting the ceiling and getting nowhere? Bob began to pray and he went on. And one night he was invited out to dinner in Washington. And the people around the table explained who they were. And this lady explained that she had come from an orphanage in Kenya. Bob showed huge interest and began to ask all sorts of questions, pounding her relentlessly with questions. And so she said, you're obviously very interested in Kenya and my country. Have you been to Kenya before? No. Do you know something? No. Then, how curious. She asked Bob if he'd like to visit the orphanage. Needless to say, Bob said, yes. Upon returning, he couldn't get this place out of his mind. He began to write to large food pharmaceutical countries, describing to them the vast need that he had seen. He reminded them that every year they would throw away large amounts of medical supplies that were unsold. Why not send them to this place called Kenya? And some of them did. And the orphanage received more than £1 million worth of medical supplies. The woman called Bob. Bob, this is amazing. We've had the most phenomenal gifts because of your letter that you wrote. Just one letter to one company. Would you like to fly back and come and have a party with us? Will you come? I've got to go on because you've got to know the end of the story. Hope you don't mind. So Bob flew back to Kenya. While he was there, the president of Kenya came to celebrate because it was the largest orphanage in the country. And he offered him a tour of Nairobi, the capital. In the course of this tour, they saw a prison, and Bob asked about the group of prisoners there. Oh, they're political prisoners. That's a bad idea, Bob said brightly. You should let them out. Bob finished his tour and went back home. Sometime later, Bob received a telephone call from the State Department of the United States. Is that Bob? Yes. Were you recently in Kenya? Yes. Did you make any statements to the president about political prisoners? Yes. What did you say? I told them they should let them out. The State Department official explained that they had been working for years behind the scenes to try and release these prisoners to no avail. Normal diplomatic channels had failed. Political manoeuvres had also led to a dead end. But now, for some strange reason, the prisoners had been released. And the State Department had rung to say to Bob, thank you. Several months later, the president of Kenya made a phone call to Bob. He's going to rearrange his government and select a new cabinet. Would Bob be willing to fly over and pray for him for 3 days while he was selecting his new cabinet? So Bob, who was not politically connected at all, boarded a plane and once more flew back to Kenya, where he prayed and asked God to give wisdom to the leaders of the nations as he selected his government. All this happened because one man got out of a boat and believed what Scripture said. How about you, says the book? What are you praying for? Give it 6 months. I have to tell you, I can't afford to give you all £500, okay? So before you start asking, that bit of the deal is off. Give it 6 months. If you pray every day for 6 months and nothing extraordinary happens, let us know. We won't promise you £500, but to the contrary, if something extraordinary does happen, write about it and tell us all. Walking on water isn't something that's great. You don't have to do something huge. In fact, by yourself, you can't do anything of any value whatsoever. But if we as a congregation and as a church choose to get out of the boat and walk on water and focus on Jesus and trust him for that prayer, he's going to give each one of you a different prayer. That's God. That's how he works. But our challenge is in the next 6 months, and I've given the same challenge to Great Chart, to pray and pray and pray and see what happens. God at work. Bob thought it was true. God answers prayer. He does, but only when we start praying. It doesn't have to be long essays. One sentence. I sat in the vestry and said, God, how am I going to make a difference in this appalling situation? And in comes the policeman. God answers, not necessarily in the way that we expect. But we need to get out of the boat and start.